Before we go any further, let's take these words that are on the blackboard. They're the ones used in the King James Version, and most of them do not have much meaning for modern Americans. Let's look at them. I'm trying to give you the modern English equivalent of these words so that when you read them in another moment, you'll know what you're reading about. Divination is specifically fortune-telling. Observing times is horoscopes. This is a good week to do business or whatever it may be. This is observing times, choosing the right time by the study of the heavenly bodies for certain specific courses of action. Astrology or stargazer, that's of course astrology. Having a familiar spirit, that's a word for a medium. A medium has a spirit that comes regularly to him, called his guide or some other word like that. This is old, it's not new. You find it in almost all pagan countries. But in modern America, it's normally called a medium. Necromancy is seeking to the dead for advice and counsel. A charmer is one who uses charms for protection and so on. In Africa, we discovered, praying with the Africans for salvation, many times you would have to discern that the woman had charms around her waist and tell her to go off and take them away before you could bring her to salvation. None of these things are new. Enchanter is one who uses incantation, or more generally, music. Music has tremendous power, and Satan often uses it to enslave people. A wizard is a male and a witch is a female. All right. Now then, let's go through these other scriptures and then I'll go on further. But remember now the meaning of these words. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14. This is really the main list. Here's the whole works given you. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, I'll read through verse 12. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that is offering your firstborn as a living sacrifice to be burned by fire in sacrifice to a pagan god. Notice this is in direct company with all these other activities. They're all put on the same level. Or that useth divination, fortune-telling, or observer of times, horoscope, or an enchanter, or a witch, I'll give you a definition of witchcraft in a moment, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, one that goes to a medium, or a wizard, that's a male witch, or a necromancer, one that consults the dead. There you are. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. All that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And we turn to Isaiah for a moment, 47th chapter of Isaiah, and just notice the picture of Babylon and the reason why God's judgment came on Babylon. And remember that there is to be a spiritual Babylon that comes forth at the close of this age, which is the spiritual counterpart of the Old Testament Babylon and has the same traits and characteristics. And in Isaiah 47, verses 12 and 13, you see the central feature of Babylonian religion. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee, and so on. Notice, astrology, stargazing, monthly prognostication, that's horoscopes, sorcery, these are the marks of Babylon. You know there are only going to be two religious groups in Christendom at the end of the age. Do you know that? One's going to be the bride, the other's going to be the harlot. The bride will be marked by the fact that those in the bride have remained true to their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. The harlot will consist of those who have been seduced by deceiving spirits from their loyalty to Jesus Christ, and they will be marked with all the features of Babylonian religion here described. And you can read about them in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation. Every one of us in this room is liable to be confronted by the decision, do I want to be in the bride or do I want to be in the harlot? And I don't believe there'll be a third choice. Now let's look at these words here. The three common words that are normally used are divination, witchcraft, and sorcery. And many, many times I have encountered these spirits that have spoken to me, defied me, and challenged me out of people. As a matter of fact, I have a kind of private war with witchcraft. Many times they'll say to me, I know you. One said to me, why did you have to come? All right, divination is essentially getting revelation by supernatural means, not through the Holy Spirit. Revelation of the past, revelation of where lost things are, revelation of who committed a crime, or prediction concerning the future. And I would say in modern language, ESP, extrasensory perception, is all a manifestation of divination. I was praying with a woman in a church in Chicago, and she had been a medium. And the first time she came, I refused to pray with her because I said, I don't believe you've repented. Second time she came, told me that she had repented. I questioned it, but I said I would pray with her. And I began to command the spirits to come out of her, and various spirits came out. And then I took a little rest, and I was just leaning against the altar rail of the church, and the woman was standing there by me, and she suddenly turned to me and said this, I see you in a car, and it's wrecked against a tree. And I said, you spirit of divination, I refuse to accept that from you. I'll not be in any car that's wrecked in any tree. But you see, if I had not been on my guard, had I begun to believe that, which was the spirit of divination speaking through her, it was describing Satan's destiny for me. And had I begun to believe it and think about it, I would have submitted myself to Satan's destiny in my life, and quite likely I would have ended up in a car wreck. Many, many people go to the fortune teller. You're going to divorce your husband and marry another man. They submit to it, and it happens. What you've done in that is submit to Satan's destiny planned for your life. You know about Harold Bredesen? How many of you know Harold Bredesen? I'm sure many of you do. You know when he went to a church that he was pastoring in New Jersey? It was a very modernistic, liberal church, and they'd organized a bazaar. So he thought, well, can't stop this now, better go along with it. Then they told him, we're going to have a fortune teller. And his heart sank, but he thought, well, oh, I can't stop it right now. So he ended up by allowing the fortune teller and going to the fortune teller. Now this was all intended to be a joke, nothing else. As he sat there and looked at that fortune teller, she looked him in the eyes and said, your wife is going to have cancer. And he said, I realized that was Satan's voice telling me Satan's prediction for my wife. And his wife got cancer, but was healed. How many people have told me, I went to the fortune teller just for a joke. You know what Dennis Bennett says? Like counting the tiger's teeth just for a joke. Whether you did it for a joke or not is irrelevant. You went to a servant of Satan for help that you should receive only from God. And in doing that, you submitted yourself to Satan. You made Satan your God. That's the truth. Witchcraft operates primarily by spells, curses, and I would say hypnosis. It brings people under control. I've met many real practicing witches. Quite a number. One woman told me, I've killed people by my curses. It was a respectable, middle-class American housewife. I've met several young people just recently, girls that have told me they could put a hex on somebody and make them do what they wanted. Sorcery operates through things, like charms, music, dancing, and drugs. This craze for drugs is nothing new. The African witch doctor has known about it for centuries. They've long experimented in certain herbs and things that would produce certain strange conditions. And basically, the categorical name for that whole operation is sorcery, bringing people into a supernatural state of power by the use of certain things like drugs, music, charms, so on. Be careful what you wear around your neck or put around your wrist, because you can put on a satanic yoke if you put something that's supposed to have power. How many people seek protection by a charm or a lucky penny? Somebody told me about a girl who grew sick, and her mother took her to a faith healer who gave the mother a little charm. Said, put this around your girl's neck and it will keep her well. The mother did. The girl became well. But after some time, the mother became illuminated and realized the awful thing she'd done. They took the charm off, opened it up, and inside they read a little poem which said, Satan, keep this girl's body well till her soul burns in hell. The devil doesn't mind a little healing, provided it costs you your soul. He'll gladly call off a minor demon in order to enslave you with a major one. Let me mention very quickly, you'll find many examples in the New Testament. Acts chapter 8 in Samaria, Simon the sorcerer bewitched the whole city with his sorceries, had everybody enslaved by satanic supernatural power. And you see how hard it was for him to repent? He could believe the gospel, watch Philip, stay with him, get baptized, but there was something in his heart that was still after money. And you remember the last things ever said to him? Thy heart is not right. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Peter discerned his motives were still crooked. And I'll tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world for somebody that served Satan in this realm to get really free. It demands total repentance. No fooling around. No halfway commitment, but a total renunciation of Satan and a total submission to God. Typically enough, you know the last thing Simon the sorcerer said? He said, pray for me. Oh, how typical. You do the work. You get desperate. I'll trust your prayers. People come to me, sometimes I say, brother, sister, you're wanting me to be desperate for you. I won't do it. You get desperate for yourself. Don't ask the preacher to do all the work. You start to get desperate. Dave Wilkerson says to the drug addict, if you're desperate, you can be delivered. That's true of almost every major area of deliverance. If you're desperate, you can get delivered. Don't ask the preacher to be desperate for you. Acts 13, a certain false prophet, a sorcerer named Bar-Jesus, who sought to keep the preachers of the gospel from the Roman deputy in the island of Cyprus. See, that's the work of the enemy, to keep a man from the truth. There was an open, head-on conflict between Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the sorcerer. I wish I'd been there. If anything I wish I could have seen, it was that. Paul looked at that man and said, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, how long wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You know what he was talking to? A sorcerer. A false prophet. What is a sorcerer? A child of the devil and an enemy of all righteousness. Acts 16, a damsel with a spirit of divination, the Greek says with a spirit, a python, a fortune-telling girl, so successful that as a slave girl she brought a lot of money to her masters. Now, you'll never bring a lot of money if you're never right. She must have been right many times. And when Paul and Silas came to that city, she knew who they were long before anybody else. She followed them every day in the street, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation. Every word she spoke was true, but she was a servant of the devil. Somebody said if Paul had been a modern missionary, he'd have made a charter member of the church in Philippi. But he turned to that spirit, said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the scripture says, he came out of her the same hour, and she was no longer able to tell fortunes. Fortune-telling is the demon of divination. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You say they weren't saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you couldn't be more wrong, because the next verse says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, the hearing of faith? Yes, they were good, charismatic Christians, but they were bewitched. Did you know that Spirit-baptized people can be bewitched? Believe me, they can. I took over a congregation that was bewitched by the wife of the previous pastor. And I came face to face with that power at that time, and I learned the truth about the Galatians. What was the evidence that they were bewitched? Galatians chapter 4. Ye observe times, days, months, years. You're playing with horoscopes. You're seeking to get to know the future by occult means. Paul said, I'm afraid lest I bestowed labor upon you in vain. I think I've wasted my time preaching the gospel to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, deceivers shall wax worse and worse. But the Greek word is magicians. I wish you'd notice that. 2 Timothy 3:13, where the King James says deceivers, the Greek says magicians. And these people are compared with Jannes and Jambres, the magicians who withstood Moses. Have you ever thought about the fact that the magicians of Egypt had supernatural power? Have you ever considered that? Moses threw down his rod, it became a serpent. The magician said, we can do that. And they did it. The only difference was that Moses' snake ate up their snakes. The next one, Moses took water out of the river, turned it to blood. They said, we can do that. And did it. The third one, Moses called the frogs out. They filled the houses of the Egyptians. The magician said, wait a minute, we can do that too. And they did it. The fourth one, Moses turned the dust into lights. The Egyptians, magicians tried to do that and could not. Then they said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. This goes beyond us. You better listen to this man. He's got something we don't have. But they had supernatural power. And I'm serving notice on you that at the close of this age, the conflict is not going to be fought on the natural plane. It's going to be fought in the supernatural. Manifested supernatural power of Satan, confronted by and overcome by the manifested supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. You read 2 Timothy chapter 3, it is very clear. Revelation chapter 9 verse and chapter 18, you'll find the references to witchcraft, and particularly in connection with Babylon, the false religious situation.